welcome to My First Dungeon, the tabletop role-playing podcast that helps game masters learn new games and make each one better than the last. My name is Brian Flaherty, and I'm joined by the rest of our doomed quartet, starting with Elliot Davis.
Choo-choo!
Chianik Tissera.
Hey, guys, it's me. Also, we're in the dice pool. Splash.
No, we're not.
This isn't the dice pool.
Oh, this is going on the main feed?
That's sick. Main feed, baby.
Oh.
That's crazy.
Splash. But if you want to check out the dice pool with a bunch of bonus actual plays, you can do that by heading to patreon.com/manysidedmedia right now. But before you do that, let me introduce the last person that's joining us. That is Jay Stroutman.
Caw, caw. Because I was a bird. Remember?
Very good.
Thanks.
Yeah, you know how cockerels go caw.
Cockerels go caw, caw.
It's in the name.
That's true.
Wait, you guys are letting me edit a main feed thing? That's crazy.
Well, maybe not anymore.
No, wait. Let me do it.
This is the talkback for our mini-season of Last Train to Bremen, sponsored by Possum Creek Games and Steve Jackson Games. At time of recording, they have more than quadrupled their original funding goal for Last Train to Bremen. So expect to be seeing this game on your shelves very, very soon. And thank you very much to these lovely sponsors for supporting independent podcasting and independent actual play. Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
Hell yeah.
But to kick off this talkback about our game of Last Train to Bremen, let's start it off with, how'd you guys like Bremen?
It was awesome. It was really, really good. Had a great time. The only thing that would have made it better is if you guys let me be a puppet.
Oh.
That would have made it better.
Yeah.
See, the only thing that would have made it worse for me is if you had been a puppet.
You know, Chianik, I'm happy to disappoint you this time.
Fuck you. God damn it.
You still got your puppet bits in there. There's plenty of puppet bits in this.
Plenty of puppet bits. Could have been way more. Could have been 10 times the puppet bits.
They should put that in the rules that you're allowed to play a puppet.
They should.
If
yeah, I
have one
really
note.
Fits the tone.
If I have one note, it's that there's not enough puppets. We got nasty immediately. And
that was great.
You know, this is a game of doomed quartet that are people supposed to be sniping at each other and getting mad. But the game got us there so quick. I think we even say it on the podcast, like, oh my God, this happened so quick. Do you guys think, was that us or was that the game?
No. I mean, I recently played like my first game earlier this year, a campaign of something that like was a game that very much was an argument generator. And I was like, oh, I love this. So I will admit that like that aspect of it, I grabbed hold of immediately, but it wasn't hard. The game really sets you up to have arguments and to like have like really the kind of dislike for each other that's really under your skin that I thought was really fun.
Yeah.
The questions in character building just immediately are like, okay, here's seven things you can pull on at any given time.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing how quickly this gets not to just like being angry at each other, but to be resentful of each other.
Yeah.
Which is such like a deeper emotion. Like that resentment only comes with time. And we, within like a couple of questions, we were like there.
Also, I have to say, as someone who's like done a lot of touring with a band, that is a real thing. I feel like most of the work in touring is to kind of like stave off those feelings because you're just with people so much around people. Often you don't have time for yourself. And like that, I don't know if any writer influence came from something like that, but man, it was almost shocking how familiar some of these feelings were.
I gotta think it's tough for a band on the road because it's like, yes, you're with these people all the time, but you also don't have like a sanctuary with which you can escape to,
like usually not even your bed, you know, has been my experience. That like, yeah, it's a blessing and a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
Not
it was fun being mean to Brian specifically.
Thanks, buddy.
Well, I feel like the hound gets set up for that.
Yeah.
So bad. Like you're the heart, you're the lyricist. There's so much to like fucking go at you for.
Yeah. The questions also set it up pretty well of like why we didn't work out and shit.
Right.
Yeah.
P.F. Chang's beer and sex. The the three food groups.
That's my favorite line I've maybe ever had on this show. Yip Changs, beer, and sex. Those are the three food groups, my man.
That's yucky.
Man,
that's yucky. It's great.
Man, oh man.
I think that one of the things that we did as a group that maybe is I can attribute to us versus the game is we picked up on things to poke at over and over again pretty immediately.
Yeah.
Like your lyric writing, the treasurer accountant bit, tax write-offs.
That was very good.
Like Cockrell's solo EP. Like there was a lot of things that just like we all were like,
name
okay, this is
what was my
this
thing?
Is the thing. I don't know. You won. Shut up.
No. We got him.
Oh, no. Your thing was the jet plane.
Oh.
Yeah. Oh,
the prank show plane.
The prank show airplane show.
No, your thing was I want to be a puppet. It was a meta thing.
And then I think the other thing that's interesting about this game, the thing that I was most excited about this game when we went into it was using liar's dice as a mechanic.
Hell yeah.
Which was really cool. I was expecting it to be fun, and it was even better than I anticipated.
Yeah. I want to play Liar's Dice every day of my life.
Yeah.
So the fact that I could play a TTRPG was fucking awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I think all of us have played Liar's Dice together before.
No, that was my first time playing with you guys.
You didn't play at PAX with us?
No.
No. Jay went home.
I went home?
Yeah.
Wow.
We were all hanging out.
Oh, right.
And then
Right. You're right. I was going to be like, you didn't invite me, but I did go
home. You were there and just left, yeah. Anyway, sorry. Liar's Dice is a fantastic game. It also, I'm going to say a stupid, semi-pretentious performance thing.
Ooh.
I feel like I took an acting class in college, and one of the exercises we would do is do an activity while you perform a scene. Like, here's a broom,
sure.
and push the broom while like having an argument with your brother about like how he slept with your ex or something. And it feels like in this game, Liar's Dice is that activity that you like keep folk coming back to and putting your emotions into. Like so many of the ways we got back into the game and play were like, all right, pick up your dice. Let's go.
Yeah.
It's also just great to have something that you're just doing. It allows you to feel like you're more in the space, and especially when the space in this game is so evocative and specific, like you are in a boxcar, you are on your way to hell, or you're on your way to Bremen, and you're killing time. It's just great to have that thing that you can focus on.
Also, the fact that the mechanic of the game is diegetic, you know what I mean? It's not, that really got me. This is the second time I've played this game. And the first time we just kind of treated it like it was sort of outside of the game, and the memories and everything was us playing. And then the rest of the time was the mechanics of playing with you guys. This time it was hard to come out of character there was never an opportunity for us to come out of character. We were always, even doing the mechanic of the game was my character rolling those dice, which is really cool.
There was a certain point where I was editing the first half of this, and there was this long stretch where we were just in character between like rolling the dice and doing stuff. And then at some point, someone like described a character action out of character. And I was like, whoa, like that's the first time that happened in like 10 minutes. And it felt strange now. Like it was fun to be like so in the world. And all of a sudden someone's like, I move a thing and I'm just like, whoa, wait a minute. What's happening? How do I get out of the world? But in a great way, it's like, it's noteworthy that it was so jarring to come out of character for a moment.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The game makes you do the core mechanic as your character. Like, that's fucking sick.
It's cool.
You never have to
break. That's inspired.
Yeah. Like, you don't have to like break the world as often as you do sometimes, which was jarring.
So like looking at the memories aspect of Liar's Dice, and like as you lose a dice, each time you are presented with these like prompts for what the memories are. How did you guys feel that? How effective do you think those prompts were to getting us to like this intense storytelling that we got to in this just short game?
Super evocative.
I almost feel like we played memories a little different than intent, but in a way that I really liked. Like we never stepped into a memory fully. It was often still like we're sitting in the boxcar talking about the memory to each other, which I think is different than I've heard other people play this. Like other people really step into the memory with like, the smell of a bar and like, you know, the sound of a crowd. And like we, it was like very much like a conversational prompt, which I really liked. I really liked the way that we kind of fell into that because it made it so that like, same thing you were saying about getting pulled out because of a moment of action, never got pulled out listening to that, listening to the episode, because it was just like, we're in a memory, like very fluidly from I've lost a die.
It was also like always contentious. Like someone was always saying a memory. It was always like, do you remember the time? And the other person was always, eh, wait a minute, asshole.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That's exactly what I was going to say, was that it set the other person up to be like, no, no, let's take a step back.
Which is great, because that just means like every memory is just getting us further down the down like the asshole rabbit train. Or asshole train, rabbit train.
All aboard the asshole rabbit train.
But it just like got deeper and deeper and more resentful so quickly, because we weren't flashing to a moment that had to be described. We weren't going out of character anyway. It was just staying in it.
Does the game does the game like prompt you to do that, to like challenge the it does, right? That's such a fucking
whoever it's
good,
about
that's fucking awesome. Like such a good prompt, and like sets us up so well to do the, just to build resentment and like
argument generator,
just like continuously hate on each other. Like I was so mad at Jay for like
oh my god,
I was like, you fucking piece of shit.
And Jay was particularly nasty.
I really kind of let some stuff go on my, thank you for letting me do that. I really like you guys. I just in that recording I was just like, well, I'm gonna work through some stuff.
I love that the challenging memories is such a different take on like so many role-playing games. The big thing you have to do is yes, and it's like the classic improv thing of, you know, confirm and expand on the what was previously stated. This is saying very explicitly like the no but, or the like, or just the no straight fuck up you. No. but yeah, the no fuck you, but with the idea that like that is not saying what the other person said didn't happen. It's that I don't, my character doesn't agree with that interpretation of reality. So it is still a yes and, but it's a yes and that is couched in a no but.
Right. Like the reality is never denied, but the way it happened is denied.
Yeah.
Which honestly like kind of strengthens the reality in that not everyone sees the world the same way. Like having two points of view on a similar, on the same thing is actually like strengthening what the world is and gives you a real like Rashomon vibe.
And it's hard to tell who's right, which is fun.
No, I think it was obvious who was wrong in this episode.
Yeah.
Chinook?
Yeah, I was
definitely
just
me.
No, I was gonna say Cockrell. Jay is Cockrell.
I don't think that's really how I remember it.
You're fucking solo tour.
Let's
dude.
Go again.
Let's do it again.
One more time.
Let's see what happens on the second go.
I'd replay that right now.
I would replay it again. I've played it twice and I would play it again, even though it like the story's the same. It's just all the I just like to fight with my friends in a safe environment.
It is interesting that I've heard this from a number of people about this game, that they've played it a lot. Like they've played it a bunch of times. A, because it's like it's very quick and easy to pick up, but also, yeah, it's very fun, even though you're telling a very similar story every time. Like you're gonna have shades of gray and you're gonna have very different justifications for why Hound isn't with Cat, or like why that went wrong, or why Cockrell is leaving the band, or why Cockrell's trying to go solo, whatever. It'll end up being the same story, but it's like it's kind of that history repeats itself type thing in a way that's still fun to play. Like just because it is slightly predetermined doesn't mean that it's not unique every time.
I also feel like the secret choice is so much of like kind of how you end up playing your characters, because you kind of always have that in the back of your mind. Like at some point I'm going to have to reveal this crazy thing I did or said or what have you.
Yeah. Oh, we should talk about the secrets and the special abilities that we get.
Yeah.
Because this was a fun thing of just adding a mechanical element to Liar's Dice. Like as you lose dice, you are revealing these memories, but also then when you get down to your final dice, you get to reveal this like big game changing secret and then also have a big game changing power. And like, what were the big secrets from ours? Cockrell, it was you had a solo contract with the devil.
The devil mm-hmm. offered me a more lucrative gig, which is wild to give me as an option.
That's crazy.
I set the black barn on fire.
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Kat, what was yours, Kat? I forget.
Call me by my real name, asshole.
Sorry, Shenhook.
Call me by my real name, asshole.
That's the follow up to the critically acclaimed
Call me by your name.
Call me by your name.
Yeah.
Mine was the devil already claimed my soul long before we signed his contract.
We didn't get to yours, did we? Because you didn't die.
Because I didn't die. I was bummed. Mm. Like, you loved Liar's Dice.
You kind of brought it up.
No,
a
you
bit.
Did get it to it. You got to use your ability.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I did. Yeah. Yes, I revealed
it. Oh, right,
it.
Right. Sorry. Yes. Yeah.
And you used your ability on Brian, which is how you got Brian out.
Right.
Damn.
Yeah, and then the abilities for this game, like, absolutely changed the game.
Oh, you didn't want my secret?
Oh, sorry. What was your secret?
Oh, yeah. This is the best talk back because it feels like we're still mad at each other.
It still feels yeah. contentious.
Yeah, yeah.
We're supposed to be, I'm in this, it. We're out of game. We are above
oh,
table.
We're out of game?
Oh.
Mine was I lied about our destination. The train isn't going to Bremen. It's going straight to hell.
Right.
Yes, yes. A pretty important one, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so much that drastically changes the story so quickly. Because, like, you get those first couple of rounds of Liar's Dice. And, like, in our case, Jay, you got out relatively quickly. I think you lost two dice, and then someone lost one, and then you lost your third.
Yeah.
But, like, by that time, we then had a couple of memories, which were great, but then a huge swing of... Devil has given me a more lucrative contract, and then
later
I'm out of here. Like later, folks.
And then commenting after being taken was fun.
That's, yeah,
like I feel like Jay and I got to do a lot of that because we died.
Yeah,
quickly.
Just being like an ethereal presence.
Yeah,
I think the rules are pretty explicit about doing that too.
Oh, I think so. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Especially because then you guys got into a bunch of messy relationship stuff and the two of us just got to be like, oh.
Just commentating on it.
Oh, yeah. This was probably the worst character I've ever played.
Oh, yeah.
This guy was bad.
I'm the best. I'm as good as the Beatles or I'm better than the Beatles lyricist.
I'm better than the Beatles. Oh, you can God. Be my Yoko Ono to my Paul McCartney.
Holy.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I'm ready to bully you again, I think.
Yeah, like at a certain point, I think you can almost hear it in the recording of like, I'm playing relatively straight or like a normal person. And then all of a sudden it clicks that like, oh, this guy's the worst person in the whole world.
Yeah.
And then it's just, okay, get more toxic. Okay, get more toxic. Okay, get more toxic.
The tough thing about Hound is that he's so bad, but he's the only one who doesn't know he's an asshole.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great. That's such a good choice for a character.
Yeah. Oof.
Love him.
Hey, it's Elliot from Many Sided Media, and I'm here to tell you about the second setting guide for the hit Hope Punk sci-fi TTRPG Dreams and Machines from our friends at Modiphius. If you haven't heard, Dreams and Machines is a Hope Punk sci-fi TTRPG about a world in the far future cut off from Earth where sleeping mechs form a part of the landscape and a part of the culture. This new setting guide, The Broken Steps, will give players a detailed overview of the Surrienta Simio region, as well as brand new glyphs, talents, and equipment for player characters, and expanded rules for mounts and vehicles. But perhaps most excitingly, there are now rules for settlement building, so players and game masters can create these permanent, customizable communities that grow into societal hubs that forever leave your personal mark on Evra Prime, the world of Dreams and Machines. So if you want to pre-order The Broken Steps coming later this year, use code DREAMS10 at checkout and get 10% off the Game Master's Guide and the Player's Guide, everything you need to start playing.
Hey, this is Brian, and I just want to tell you about some cool new stuff from our friends at Hero Forge. Hero Forge offers fully customizable tabletop minis with dozens of fantasy species and thousands of parts to choose from, all within your web browser. Hero Forge is constantly releasing new content, and they've just launched their latest feature, custom acrylic keychains. These keychains use the same technology as their color standees and are the perfect way to rep your beloved character when you're out in the world. They are highly detailed, ridiculously durable, and made of 1/8-inch thick acrylic featuring front and back color printing, measured on the same 30mm scale as Hero Forge minis and standees, which means they will be a one-for-one match for your heroes on the battle map. Plus, Hero Forge just released stainless steel minis. These are perfect for anyone who is looking for the retro feel of old-school minis. These stainless steel minis have a textured finish and a rugged, highly durable feel. So visit heroforge.com to start designing your custom keychains and steel minis today.
With your long-forgotten name, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
In the words of the unspeakable language, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
By the spilt blood of the wicked who walk upon this world sprouting the words of false idols, we call upon you.
We call upon you.
On the land of the dead harvest, that which brings the earth itself into your service, Yamel, we call upon you.
We call upon you. We call upon you. We call upon you.
The Sprouting, a Call of Cthulhu actual play podcast by Blighthouse Studio. Find us on your podcatcher of choice.
Hi, my name is Robin.
And my name is Dylan.
Do you like Choices Matter video games?
If so, we started this podcast, Dorkspawn, so that I could show my best friend my favorite RPG series of all time, Dragon Age.
And now that I've played it, we want to share more of these choice-heavy games with each other.
Right now, Robin is showing me Mass Effect, which I have never played before.
And we are going to continue playing through these games together and discussing them book club style as we go.
You can join our Discord and play along with us, and tune into Dorkspawn every Friday wherever you listen to podcasts.
So what was upsetting to you all about the puppet?
I think it would have undercut a lot.
You know, it seems like the first play, this is actually, I've had this thought recently, talking about a bunch of role-playing games on like our social media or stuff like that. And like every time I'll talk about a new game and someone will be like, hey, what if I did this? What if I hacked it this way?
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. Why don't you just try it one time regular? Just right. To see
next
how it
time
plays.
We can do the Muppets version.
No.
It's like tasting the food before you add more salt. You're like, taste it to see if it needs more salt.
Shen's takeaway is it needs a puppet.
because just like cooking, once you put salt in, you can't take it out.
So you need to remind you of the Fedora Noir incident.
We've fallen down the puppet trap before.
Oh my god.
Jay, for context and for non-patrons, we played Fedora Noir on our Patreon.
Uh-huh.
And it started off just like a Los Angeles-esque like
noir murder.
And then at some point, Abigail Hepworth gave an NPC a voice that was so Muppet coded that the whole show became the world was half Muppet, and there was a guy whose car trunk was full of Muppet hands, but they were like,
whoa,
I'm murdering Muppets, Muppet. It was crazy. It was crazy.
It became a Muppet murder mystery.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, what's the problem?
But hard R.
Well, I just remember being in that. I remember being in that recording, and at one point, all of us looking at each other being like, can we salvage this to an ending? And I didn't want to end up there again.
It was an element of with that one. And actually, this is where with Bremen, it would have worked a little bit better. That one, we got like a third to a half of the way through the game before we realized we were
before
Muppets.
The first Muppet. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we had to like back justify everything. In this one, it, you know, to be fair, Chinook, you made the call for Muppet. immediately.
When you were about to read your character intro, you were asking, because what was the voice you would have done if you were a puppet?
Oh, that's true. We never actually... So yeah. Yeah, what is it? What would it be?
I don't know. Hold on, let me look at the intro text again. Let me see if I can...
Yeah, do you want to take it as the puppet?
I forget what I was going to read, but let's see. I'll just read something from the thing and as a Muppet. As a puppet.
You weren't going to be Beaker.
Yeah.
But you were going to have a, I assume, higher pitched, borderline unlistenable voice.
I don't remember what I was going to do. But if I had to do a puppet voice, it'd probably sound something like, the glamour, the stardom, your name up in lights.
Oh, man.
That maybe.
I feel so justified in my decision.
I guess I had this impression that you were like, can I play a puppet? And then we said yes. And then it would have played out exactly as it did, but just with the knowledge that you were a puppet.
Yeah,
I guess I didn't think about the fact that you...
I don't think I had an intention of doing a Muppet voice. I think the intention was, I'm a Muppet. I talk like this.
No.
Yes. And,
I don't know. I just listened to that episode and you take like a deep breath, like you're about to do some crazy shit reading your character intro. And then you go, wait, can I be a puppet?
I was going to do it normal style. I swear it was going to be normal style. Fine. Let's play this again on the Patreon and I'll play a puppet and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah, good call. I'm ready. Let's do it right now.
We'll do all puppets.
Oops, all puppets.
All puppets and one guy.
Wait, that's funny.
Yeah, you got to figure out which one is
the guy. Wait, that's funny. I want to be the guy.
Now you just have to be special, huh?
It's just a guy and his puppets. That's so fucking funny.
Dude. Oh, man.
That's so fucking funny.
Wait, who's the one who signs the contract? The Cockerel?
Cockerel, yeah.
So the Cockerel has to be the guy.
Yeah.
Who signed the contract to bring his puppet band to life.
No. Cockerel could be a Muppet, and there's a guy with a marionette string who is like making his puppet sign the contract.
Wait, there's guys? Wait, so then the guys goes a layer up. Like, there's three puppets with
but
guys
when they
attached
sign,
to
they
them.
Get sucked into their puppets. Their souls, I think, go into their puppets.
That's crazy.
Oh, interesting. We didn't read the fine print, and we were all guys. And then we sign, and we get sucked in, and now we're puppets. And it's
right,
like a marionette.
Two of the puppets
thing.
Are fucking, which is very funny.
We're cooking with gas now.
All right, we're losing the thread, and I'm gonna start pulling us back.
I'm sorry.
No, we had to all excise that particular demon because otherwise the audience would have been asking forever.
Yeah, now,
we have already gotten multiple messages in the Discord specifically about the puppet bit.
Puppet
What's
based
up with
messages?
The puppet stuff?
Man, these secret powers, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
very strong.
I do really love how much, especially because Liar's Dice is such a mini game that you get to play, which is incredibly fun. It's great to have like games within games, and then all of our powers drastically change the functionality of that game. Like,
yeah,
getting rid of the Devil's Dice completely changes the game.
Oof.
Having the other player play with one die revealed completely changes the game.
Oh,
yeah.
In a way that I was sure I was gonna win when that happened, and then
that
I
was tense.
Fucking got rocked.
You got rocked. Yeah.
Okay, so I do an extension of the puppet conversation that is relevant. Oh. Is how did you guys picture your characters? Because I don't think we did establish anything really about the way they looked. Were you animal people or were you people?
Oh, I was a person.
Really?
That's crazy because I had a donkey head.
Same. Yeah. I was a bird. I just knew I was a hot bird, and that's all I could tell you.
I was a hot bird. I thought I was a person wearing a cat mask.
That's so funny.
Huh.
I thought it might be different around, but I fully was like anthropomorphic donkey.
Same.
I get that.
Yeah.
It kind of gives Kiss vibes, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Kiss the band?
Yeah. With like all the characters.
Right.
And then the final part of this game, the battle with the devil, I think I didn't fully realize as we were playing that Chinook, by you like winning so much, by you doing well, you actually were getting completely screwed for the final fight.
I know. That sucked. I love Liar's Dice. It sucked. It punished me for liking the game. Damn. This fucking sucks.
How really like did life, you know what I mean?
Turns out if you're good at lying, the devil doesn't like that.
Because that's the devil's game, huh? Right?
I lost so fast. That was bullshit.
I remember the moment when I had one of those moments of like producer brain trying to stop player brain. Because I was watching Brian think about the call, whether he was going to call it. And then gamer brain was like, there's no reason not to call it because Brian has like such a high chance of winning here. And then producer brain was like, but it'd be pretty cool if we got a couple more scenes here.
It is fun. It is the three-headed devil thing, especially because we had the like dead players giving commentary and then getting sucked into like also being the devil was really fun. When we play this again, I hope to live in that scene for a little bit longer so that we get like a little bit more sniping back and forth. Cause the whole thing about it was like every time the devil takes a die, you're supposed to like reveal something. And then every time the player takes a die, you're like adding in one extra snipe against one of your former bandmates. Like, It's a time for all of the resentment to like fully boil over and have like those parting shots in a way that I think is really fun.
I like how the game explicitly says when the devils give up a die, it says reveal a grievance against the survivor and says specifically make it mean. Hell yeah. Yeah.
And then with the player, it's like make it petty.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like it's really setting you up for that last confrontation to just hurt. Like, by the end, it wants the game wants it to hurt. And I think it succeeds. it fucking gets you there.
Mm. Oh. And how? Yeah, we got there.
Yeah.
We did some fun stuff where, Brian, I feel like we did like a shifting face of the devil thing where like Jay said something about Cockrell's face. I said something about Mule's face. You described, I remember, like your hands coming out and you leaning up and giving him like a dog kiss.
It was.
But you were a guy?
it was that Cat kissed both Mule and Cockrell. Hound tried to pull out and be like, no, me.
Oh my God.
It was just like the purest of his energy. Of like the pick me guy.
The pick me guy. That's such a good way to put it.
Which is a huge fucking bummer.
I have a question that I've been curious about because I've been thinking about wanting to play the game again. Do you guys know who you would pick if you were to play an additional time? And I guess Jay, you're running out of options to shake it up.
I played Hound the first time I played it, and I similarly received a lot of shit about it, which was fun to watch someone else go through that. And then I just played Cockrell. I think I want to play Cat. I do want to play them all, but the next time I play this, and I will play it at least four times, I'm pretty excited to play them all, but Cat is my next up for me.
I've heard a whisper that if you play all four and you tell Caro, they have like a
devil's bargain?
Secret commendation they give you or something like that, or like
a reward. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Oh. Now I'm ready.
It's an unlockable. Got 100% the game.
Yeah.
I think I want to be Cockrell.
Yeah.
I want to just lean into a different type of worst person energy.
Yeah.
I would definitely play Cat again, but if I had to pick someone new, I would pick the Hound because I love being made fun of.
Oh.
Well, we could do more of that on the show. Let's all right, guys. Let's shit on Staten Island for the next 5 minutes.
You're wrong. You're wrong about first. Why does Staten Island get so much shit on the show? You're from Ohio.
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah, but I fixed it.
This is regional stuff I don't understand, but I'm laughing along.
Laughs in Canadian. I would definitely play the Cat. I want to be the hot bitch.
Yeah. They're all so good. I would play the same character over and over is the thing.
Yeah, I kind of get that. Mm-hmm. I do think if I played Mule, I would play it almost exactly the way that Elliot played it. Like, you guys don't know what a write-off is absolutely a line I would have found.
Yeah.
I'm just like, that's exactly that.
So good.
Because I feel like I love playing like harried characters, like characters who are like frustrated and shit. Yeah. And being the treasurer for a band of assholes is absolutely up that alley.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed them.
It is just a fun game that we can say anything that costs money and just make it vaguely unreasonable and it makes your life worse.
Yeah.
And we can just keep, and we can go all the way up to, you know, plain reality prank show.
I have to call attention to the line where you said it's a new plane every week, but it was a different, the same prank, but a new plane every week.
No, the plane doesn't change. It's the interior that changes.
I don't know about that.
So we're gutting a plane every week.
Yeah.
Same old prank, brand new plane.
You also pretty immediately called out hot tub plane, which was certainly a choice that was built in the 90s.
A great idea. Hot tub plane.
This would be fun to play in like different eras too. I know we kind of stuck like 90s, early aughts, but like going to 1920s or doing present day, or like it just gives that extra little bit of vibe to it.
1776.
I
also think playing off mic, and I know this does go a little bit against the game, but I would love to just like do some just jumping into memories and giving those some
living there a little bit.
Yeah,
it would be a different way to play the game, and I think it would be fun to experience, like, let's see the moment of pettiness and then also comment on it. It would be fun for us, like, if Elliot, if you and I had a scene as Hound and Mule, like to go into it and almost have it, the memory itself, be semi dictated by one of us, and then we flash out of it and it's like, no, it went this way, and you get the Rashomon moment of like rewind and see it again from a different angle.
That's
like cool. Could be a very, very different play experience, and not necessarily what the text of the game like says for you to do, but could be very fun to like play around.
Could be fun.
Yeah, that'd be sick.
You could kind of draw that out and make it a long, like, come back for several sessions, which again is not what the game calls for, but you could. I just want to spend more time with it.
Yeah.
But also the fact that it happens so fast is so cool.
But now that we've played it once, we can add some additional salt because we tasted it. So we can add in some puppets. We can add
three
in some
puppets,
bonus
one
scenes.
Guy.
Three puppets, one guy. Long memories.
I've seen that video, I think.
It's also like I wonder if there's a fun game you could play to prequel this game, like if there's like a good like musician troupe game that you could play to like even further develop the characters or something. None of these ideas are critiques of this, because I truly think this is a perfect game.
This is a perfect game.
There's not often that I like read a TTRPG and I'm like, that's a perfect game, and this is a perfect game, but just like fun twisty ways on like repeat plays.
Would you play this on a road trip, emulating a bit of a tour vibe?
Would that
make it a little challenging to come out of character?
Oh man, I don't know.
It seems dangerous.
Driving, but can't play.
There is an element of this game that I was grateful to be playing it remotely, so that we could like disconnect. I could be like, all right, I'm alone now. I'm in my own place. I don't gotta be with these fuckers who are fucking up my life.
Aww. Brian, I didn't mean anything I said.
Except for the puppet part. You totally meant that.
Yeah, the puppet part I didn't mean, but stuff I said about you was not real.
So much fun to play this kind of game with people that you trust, because I felt so comfortable being an asshole immediately, because I knew that you guys were gonna trust me with it, and I trusted you to take it and not take anything personally. But
Jay,
I'm interested to
me.
Of course,
that's a mistake.
I'm trying to decide if I would play this with like people I didn't know as well.
I think I would definitely try it. There's an element of it. I don't think there are some things you wouldn't take as far as you do with a game with a group that you trust more. But it is nice that with like the take the turns asking section where you like find your characters, and with like the prompts for the memories and the secrets and the special abilities, like it does kind of guide you pretty well on like, hey, if you don't know how far you want to take it, try taking it just this far. Mm-hmm. And it gives you a pretty like good safety rail, and it gives you some pretty clear points of where you're going in a way that like, if you're not comfortable playing with strangers, if you follow kind of like the letter of the law in terms of the rules, you'll probably have a very comfortable experience, because you won't be, there's not a lot of reason for people to deviate too far and like maybe get into uncomfortable spaces, because the text of the game is just great.
And the like check-ins and the rules cover all the things that you can go down a road. So if you played with strangers and they were like, I actually don't want our characters to bone, like you can just, and yeah, you'd probably still have a great time.
I think you would for sure have a great time. But I think for me, it was like, I certainly, it's not that I wouldn't feel comfortable playing this with strangers, but so much of the joy from this was like doing it with people that I'm close with and like could, yeah, like, oh, knew, yeah, that I could really dig into it.
Totally.
100%. Like, yeah. Really just like say direct in character hurtful, yeah, things.
Yeah. 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 Like, I don't think I would have been as cruel if it wasn't Brian playing the hound. Like if it was like,
oh yeah,
some rando, I'd be like, I can't say this to this person. That's a new person.
I also didn't think I would have been as toxic.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I would have maybe toned it down a little bit.
Yeah, I feel like that's like embarrassing to do in front. Like that's so vulnerable to be like, actually, right, I know how to be toxic. I actually know how to do it really, really well.
I'm so good at being a toxic personality. No, Kat, like, you should date me. I know you've said no a lot.
But I'll wear you down.
I'll wear you down, as all good romances should go.
You can't do that with strangers.
Yeah, you can't be doing that with strangers.
Yeah.
No, don't be doing it.
Very fun to play, especially with people that you're like really comfortable with playing.
Yeah. Pretty special. Yeah.
Pretty special time. As we kind of wind this down, are there any last minute kind of parting thoughts you have about Last Train to Bremen, or things you want to highlight for people who might be thinking about checking out the game? If you're not already convinced after hearing our actual play or hearing the interview, I don't know how else we can convince you, but maybe the four people here can give you one more little parting thought to get you there.
Something that I experienced playing this for a second time is that like the story ended up very similar, almost exactly the same, but the characters were a little different. And it had this feeling of like revisiting one of my favorite movies, but like catching something new in it. And that made me really excited to play it again.
That's really good.
Wow.
That's really good.
I just saw someone commented on a post about 10 Candles, and they said something along the lines of like, why would I want to play this? I already know what happens. Like,
right,
the characters die at the end. And it's like, well, no, like we, you know, people rewatch movies. They rewatch TV, yeah, shows. Like, you know what's going to happen. And even like going into something new, like if you go to the cinema and see Superman, you know that Superman's going to win. Or you go see a rom-com, you know that they're probably going to get together. I haven't seen Superman. That's not a spoiler. I just assume that he does. but that doesn't take away the joy. Like, most of the time when we're interacting with a piece of media, there are surprise elements, but oftentimes it's just meeting expectations and enjoying the journey. Like, mm-hmm, playing this a second time is just about enjoying the journey.
Talk about another game that I could play over and over again. 10 Candles, like playing that game twice was like exactly what you're saying, Jay, that feeling of like, oh, I'm comfortable here. I love it. It's a little different, but I don't know. I'd say, like I said, Caro made a perfect game.
Yeah.
I don't know that there are many of them out there, but this is certainly one of them. And you should not only buy it, but you should play it. You know,
over, like, and over.
There's often a thing where you'll buy a game because it's really pretty. And here's the thing. This game book is going to be really pretty, but then you should also play it for sure.
Yeah. This game is also just so accessible to start playing. Like, there's no character creation, there's no like prep from the GM. You sit down, you read the rules, and like by the time you're done reading the rules, like a For the Queen game or something, you're already playing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And like, if nothing else, you're playing Liar's Dice.
Yeah.
Like, you've got a mini game. Yeah. Like, if at any point you kind of get uncomfortable with like the game, or it isn't working for you or whatever, like you can always retreat to just, it's Liar's Dice.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And let me like play this mini game within it and like answer the prompts as we go.
Yeah. And to give Kara more flowers, like the game just makes it seamless to role play. Like, you don't even know you're role playing half the time. Like,
yeah,
that's just how good it's done. It's makes it so easy to just get into your character and be a complete dickhead.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, it was jarring the moment in the recording that we weren't role playing mm-hmm. or like we weren't in character, which is like, I've never had that experience before.
Agreed.
Good game.
Good game.
Good fucking good game.
Game good.
Game good.
And if nothing else, you have a set of liar's dice. If you're really not going to listen to me and not play the game, you got a cool set of liar's dice. So
got a cool set of liar's dice you can play whenever.
Hell yeah. Should we sing our song that we've prepared?
Yeah, let me just do an outro real quick and then we'll get right to it.
As a band, we've written a little song.
We've written a little song.
And it goes a little something. Like, sorry.
This is a good bit.
It's a good bit until we don't deliver on it.
No, we're going to sing it now for real.
Yep.
All right, no,
and a one and a two.
All right, just wait till after the credits and then you'll hear our original song from Last Train to Bremen, sung by the four of us.
I'm in Bremen.
Wow, that's a good pull for that. And that is all for this episode, and indeed this season of My First Dungeon. Thanks once again to Possum Creek Games and Steve Jackson Games for sponsoring this very special mini season. And thank you to Caro Assertion for talking with us and also just for making this really cool ass game.
Yeah.
Cannot recommend it more highly. At time of recording, it is already well past its funding goal on BackerKit. By the time this is released, that BackerKit will have ended, but you can still go to BackerKit and pre-order this game, or just wait for it to come to your friendly local gaming store, because I'm sure it will be there in the very near future. And also, last but not least, thank you to all three of you for playing this game.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks for being dickheads with me.
Yeah.
This was great.
Yeah, it was so nice and my mean. Favorite.
So nice.
And thanks, Jay, for joining us.
Thank you, Jay.
Hey, thanks for having me. Anytime.
Of course. Last but not least, thank you very much to everyone out there who's listening to this. And as always, remember, if you're having fun, you're already doing it right. Bye-bye, everybody.
Bye.
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 5, 6, 5, 6, 7, 8. Bremen.
I'm in Bremen.
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 I'm in Bremen when we're playing Liar's Dice.
Bremen.
The puppet strings and other things.
Bremen.
If you can believe this, Jay, those aren't the words to that song.
What? You lied to me?